Starting here with the mission at the bottom, Tzadik Gimel Amud Bet. The mission says, Shuleach Adam Yerech, Lo Oved Kochavim. A person can stand a full leg to an Oved Kochavim. Shigira Nashib Tocha, Mipnei Shemekomo Nikar. Because when the leg is whole, it's clear that the Gira Nashib is still in there. So even though he didn't remove it, if it ends up in the hands of Yisrael, we're not going to worry about it because it is obvious and apparent that the Gid is there. So where it says, Shleimayin, sounds like the only thing you could send is a full leg. Chatucha, Lo. But it was cut up, you couldn't send it over because then, obviously, the gid would not be mukar, it was taken out or not. So, Mayaskinan, what exactly is the case that we're speaking about here? Ilema b'makum she'in macharizin. It's in a place that they don't announce. Announce means that the butchers of this town, or the butchers of this area, are all kosher butchers, Jewish butchers. The sellers of meat are not all Jewish. Some of them are non-Jewish. But there are days when one of the butchers ends up with a trefa, ends up with a nevela. Then they make an announcement. Today there was an avela, today there was a trefah. On that day, the Jews are moshech yedahem, they don't buy from the non-Jews, because the butcher can sell it to the non-Jew, just we don't want the other Jews to buy from him. So if it's a place she'ein machrizin, that they don't announce such a thing, then chatucha, namilish darle, then he can even give a chatucha to the non-Jew, dalo ato lemizban minei, because Jews won't buy from them. In a place where we don't make such announcements, then there's no nemonut to the non-Jewish sellers of meat, because we're uncertain as what they're buying, and therefore, what does it matter if it's cut up or not cut up? Nobody's going to buy meat from the non-Jewish merchants. Ella, so must be makom shemachrizim. It's a place where they announce when there's a treif and nevela. So therefore, we know when the goy might have a treif or a nevela in his hands. People are moshech yedem on those days, so we won't worry about it. Let's think now. What are you going to do? Chatucha, I understand, because it's cut up, he's going to sell it. Mar says, what about shlema? Shlema nami. Lo dish derle, you shouldn't send a shleim. Why? The guy can cut him himself. What do you mean? You didn't cut it up, but he can cut it up, and then still we have no clue whether the gid's in there. So ibay dema b'makom shemachrizim. So one answer is it's a place where they do announce. Ibay dema b'makom shein machrizim. One answer is a place where they don't announce. Ibay dema b'makom shemachrizim. It's a place where they do announce. Chitucha de obi kochamim mido yodia. It's obvious the way that the obi kochim cuts is different than the way of the Jewish cuts. So the way Rashi describes that, that's unique to the Yerech. It's unique to the Yerech. It's not the stam, the butcher, all the meat is cut differently. It's not any other cut of meat, you can't say this. Then we would be choshesh. The only difference is between the cut and the Yerech, because by the Yerech, the Yisrael cuts it differently because he has to get the gid out. Since he has to get the gid out, he cuts it in a different manner than the guy. But in any other piece of meat, there's no such distinction, and therefore you couldn't buy from them. Tosafot says, "V'teima dim gain look my afshakein machrizin v'chatucha lo dishdardalei dimi atid li's doing el Yisrael kaim dichuchu yituch diyisrael midi yedia lo yichush diyisrael abalik nota shem etreifahi dim gain lama patcha v'chatcha kederach shosim kedei litolagid." If you say that, according to what Rashi is saying, that the cut of a Jew is so unique, what's the unique part of the cut? That you take out the gid. So now what happens? He sees this Jewish cut on the meat, and he goes and he says, I'm going to buy it from the guy. Why am I going to buy it from the guy? Because if it was a trefa, he would never have done all the work to take the gid out. The fact that he did all the work to take the gid out shows me that it's not a trefa. So I'm going to come to buy it. So then, v'chiteima. So what are you going to say? The chayish Yisrael shema achar kach no dalashi trefa. Ah, so what are you going to say now? You say, if he sees that it's cut by a Jew, the chaticha of a Jew is unique, and he's not going to worry about a trefa now, because who would have gone through that work? Well, maybe he figured out it was a trefa after he cut the animal open. I mean, that he did the leg, he took the gid out, and then he figured out, he covered the rest of the animal, he found out it was a trefa after the fact. So maybe we should be choshish with that. They said, maybe then, but then you have to get worried about sending a leg to your friend, derech Oved Kochavim. Which we say, the Gemara says, no problem, you can send a leg to your friend through an Oved Kochavim, because of the way that it's cut. So if you're choshish over here, why don't you choshish over there also, that the goy will switch it? Maybe not, because Avah Hecha Diso Shalchol Oved Kochavim Chayish Yisrael B'Makom Shein Machrizim Afo Pishin Nital Gida Dim Lekach Shalchol Oved Kochavim Pishin Nodolo Achar Nikur the Trefai. Says that could be the Iker reason that he sold it to him. Now if by a Goy, the reason he sends it to his fellow Jew, he definitely took out the Gid. And we're not worried about this Goy going and switching out a kosher animal for a Trefa animal, because it's hard to find a Trefa that has the Gid taken out. That's a far-fetched case, so we're not going to worry about that. But over here, we are going to worry about it, because what's going to happen? The Yisrael is going to come and he's going to buy it off of him, seeing that the leg is cut, like the Jew would cut it, then the gid was taken out. And we'll say, it's makom shei machrizin, you don't have to worry about it. He can see the cut, he'll know it's not a trefa. So he'll say, ah, maybe we should be chayish for the fact that it was, he found out afterwards it was a trefa, he did the gid, and then he found out it was a trefa. We tried the proof in the fact that by a goy we're not choshesh, that over here we should also not be choshesh. Tosfos says different cases. By the goy, not choshesh because he doesn't have access to this. But maybe the possibility is here that he cut the leg out, he took out the gid, and then he figured out it's a treifa. You know why he sold it to the goy? Because it was a treifa. I mean, the exact reason that the goy has this leg with the gid cut out is because that's exactly why he sold it to him, because it was a treifa. Tosfos says that can't be an answer in the end, because of this chashash, that the reason it was sold was because of the treifa, even though it's a lot of work to take it out, but that might have been the whole situation where he found out after the fact. So that won't be the answer. Now, vibay tema, the other possibility is, malkum shein machuzim, place where they don't announce, gzeira shema itnen alo bifnei Israel, because maybe the Jewish butcher will sell it to the goy in front of another Jew, acher, and that Jew will then go buy from the goy knowing that a kosher butcher sold it to him. Not knowing that it was a treifa, just seeing that the kosher butcher sold it to him, he'll go and buy it off of him thinking that it's kosher meat. So then we won't allow it. So then we make sure that if it's whole, he can see what's going on with the leg. If it's cut up, he can't see what's going on with the leg. So the first answer is it's b'makom shemachrizim. It's a place where they do announce. And the reason that we distinguish between shlema and chatucha is because chatucha is different for a guy and a kosher butcher. So chatucha, we don't worry about him doing it after the fact. But when it's chatucha, then you can't tell if the gid was taken out or not. So that day there was no announcement, and so he wasn't choshesh. But the fact that you sold him the whole leg with the gid in it, he'll see it, so we don't worry about it. The other possibility of answer is that ain't machuzim. It's a place where they don't announce. Well, they don't announce no Jews buy from a non-Jew. So why should you have to worry at all? The answer is that he saw the kosher butcher selling it to this guy. So he made an assumption. The kosher butcher sold this guy, then I should be able to buy it from the guy. Unbeknownst to him, it was a treifa that he was selling to this guy. The last possibility, which was not mentioned before, but now we've introduced a third possibility, is Ibaitema Mishum the Kogoni Vlele Date. He's tricking the guy. Damar Shmuel Osor Lignov Da'at Abriot. It's Osor to trick people. Afilu Datosho Ovid Kochavim. Even a guy. You have to be honest. You have to be straightforward. And you can't deceive people. Over here, this is deception. Because the guy is buying it from you. And he thinks that you're selling him this great meat. And you're selling it to him because you're his best buddy. And you took out the Gidin Asher for him. And you did all this stuff for him. Wow, this Jew must really like me. In the end, it's not true. The reason you're selling to him is because it's a treifa, because it's a nevela, because there's something wrong with the animal. V'nimtza machzik lo tova chinam. That's what Rashi says. Then he's going to give you compliments. He's going to praise you for something that really you weren't doing. You're not selling it to him because you love him, because you really want to do extra work for him. It's because you have nowhere else to sell it, and that's why you're selling it to him. V'had Shmuel la beferush itmar. This statement of Shmuel was not said explicitly. Ela michlo leitmar. It's an inference from a story. The Shmuel Abba Ka'avar Mevra, he was crossing the river, either on a raft or on a bridge. Pay off the crosser. Meaning the person who runs the raft, who runs the bridge, pay for us to go across, that he took care of us. So then he went ahead, Paise. He went ahead and took care of him. V'ikpid. And Shmuel got upset. So my time ikpid, why did he get upset? Amar Abaye, Tarnagolat Treifa Havai. That it was a Tarnagolat that was a Treifa. V'yohava nilei b'mar d'shchuta. But he handed it to him, or he gave it to him, representing it as a shchuta. It was a treifa, but he handed it to him, making it look like a shchuta. And as Rashi says, it's obvious the difference between a treifa and a shchuta. It's not that it was a treifa, obvious treifa. No, it was a case where he did the shchita, and then they realized it was a treifa. So it looks like a shchuta, and he gave it to him, make it look like a shchuta, but it was really a treifa. Rav Amar, Anpuko Amarle, he told him to give him wine, but wine as an ankapa, which is a quarter of a lug, but yayin chai, non-diluted wine. So in the end, he gave him diluted wine. So again, it was something where the Nachri was expecting, either the Nachri was expecting this undiluted wine, or Shmuel had specifically instructed him to give the undiluted wine. Instead, he went ahead and gave him something else. So the Gemara says, okay, why do you have to say this is michlola? B'chi michlola, my. What's michlola here? It's straightforward. He got upset at him for tricking the goy. Why do you have to say it's michlola? It's a direct statement. So the man that married treifa, the one who says, meaning Abayi, who says that the problem here is that he gave him a treifa instead of a shkuta, samaleya, my tishaheh isura. Problem wasn't, you could have assumed that Shmuel was upset, because why are you keeping the isur around? Why are you playing around with this treifa and keeping it around to give it as a gift to someone? You should get rid of it right away so nobody makes any mistakes with it. The fact that you kept it around, that's what got him upset. So now, that's the Mechlol Yidmar is, no, that's not the real reason. The real reason is, because you don't trick the guy. The man damar anpaka, there was time you're supposed to give him the log chai, amalei le shkuye anpaka chai mashma. Then when I said anpaka, I meant undiluted wine, strong wine. And what he's upset about is that he just didn't listen to him. That is, Ishame didn't listen to him. So maybe that was the problem here. He didn't follow his instructions, not that he was tricking the guy. So the Kamash Malon is that Michlola Yitmar is no. Those aren't really the reasons. The real reason Shmuel was upset in this case was because he was tricking the guy, he was deceiving the guy. Tanya, your Rebbe Meir Omer, Al Yisareva Adam Lechaviro Lusod Etzlo. Person should not push someone to come and eat by him. V'yodea bo she'enu soed. And he knows that he's not going to come. I mean, it's like sending the invitation to the bar mitzvah, to the wedding, but you know the person's not coming. You know they can't come. But you send the invitation anyway, because you know they're not going to, it's not going to cost you anything. It's not going to be a big deal. And what does it matter? Send out an invitation if they're not going to show up. No. Now, sometimes there's kavod and people expect to get an invitation. But there, sometimes people say, I know he's not going to come, so I'll send him the invitation. Right. Maybe I get a present. You know, maybe they'll feel good. That's one. Velo, yirbe lo, bitikrovet. And he shouldn't offer him gifts when he knows he will not accept the gifts. He shouldn't present as if he's going to give him the gift, knowing that he'll never accept the gift. So there's not, no skin for his back to offer him to give him the gift. He shouldn't open up new barrels of wine. The barrels of wine are already sold. The reason he's opening up the barrels of wine are because he's not going to lose anything. The problem with opening up a barrel of wine is once you open it, the wine starts to deteriorate. Already it's going to ferment. You have a limited shelf life on this wine. So it's a big kavod if you have a guest who comes over and you open up a new barrel of wine for him. But you're opening up the barrels of wine because you have nothing to lose. You open it up, you give him something, the chenveni already bought it from you. So the wine's sold. You have a price for that wine already, it's gone. So you don't mind opening up a new one, but he thinks that you're opening up specifically for him. So you can't do that, elim kein hodio, unless you let him know that the reason you're opening it up is because it doesn't cost you anything to open it. And he said, you know, here, you want to get oil, you want to anoint yourself, you want to put some oil on your skin, rub your hands in the oil. You have a nice pitcher over there, it's empty. You know he's not going to accept. So you say, ah, would you like some oil? Knowing that he won't accept. Again, the deception. V'im bishvil kvodo mutar. If it's for his kavod, then it's okay. Now, bishvil kvodo means for his kavanah is to enhance this individual's reputation in front of others. So he's not tricking the individual who is going, he's giving this individual and he's giving him kavod in order to elevate his status in the eyes of other people. So he's not trying to trick or deceive this person. He really wants to afford this person kavod. He knows he won't accept, but he wants to indicate to others that the proper way to behave with this individual, the proper way to do is to give him the kavod. Ini, is it really true what Rabbi Meir said? We went over to Rabbi Yehuda's house, went ahead and he opened him up all these nice barrels of wine without telling him, and they were already sold. So Mer says, Ode Ode, he told him, that's one possibility. That it was a different situation. Ula, Rabbi Yehuda really loved Ula. If he didn't have already sold barrels, he would have opened them up for him. So the reason he opened them up, the sold barrels, because that's what he had. But if he didn't have those barrels, he would have opened up anything else for him. So it wasn't really deception, because he would have opened up those barrels for him. Tarabanan, Lo yelech adam lebeit avel ubi adol lagin amit kashkesh. Person shouldn't go to the Beit Avel bringing or lugging along a big bottle of wine that is mitkashkesh, makes noise. I mean, it makes noises because it's empty. There's not a full barrel. It's half empty. It's not full. Shouldn't drag along a big bottle looking like you're going to bring him a full thing, and it's not full. V'lo yimelenu mayim, and you shouldn't fill it up with water to make it look like you're bringing him some big gift. It's clear that you're deceiving him. V'im yesham chevir, if there is a chevir mutar. Now, chevir, you could either say is a Talmud Chacham, or chevir yir can be chaburat ta'ir. I mean, there are a lot of people there. Then it's mutar, because the reason you're bringing it over is a sign of kavod to the avel. It's not important what you gave him, that he wants what you gave him. It's rather the appearance of you giving him this gift in front of others will elevate his status, and that he would want, even though there's not really wine in there, or it's in a half-empty barrel. That we don't worry about, because the intent is the mitkavin rachshiv et avel b'nehem, that you're trying to elevate the kavod of the avel in their eyes, because that's what you want to do. You want to appropriately give him the kavod, even though you're not giving him something of substance. Tarabanan, lo yimkor adam lechaviro, sandal shel meita. Can't a shoe or a sandal made out of a nevela that died, machmat, the sickness or choli, bichlau shel chaya, shechibta, indicating that the sandal or the shoe is made out of a really a shechted chaya. The assumption being that healthy animals have better skins and stronger skins. chayot have even better skins than behemot. So here he takes a meita and he passes it off as a chayesh chuta. Don't do that for two reasons. The basic and bottom line is you're tricking him. There's a problem with tricking him. Number two is v'chad mipnei sakana. That not only is it trickery or deception, but there's also danger. Why did it die? As a possibility, it was bitten by a snake. And there was eris inside the shoe. And when he puts it on, he's going to absorb the eris from the shoe and he's going to cause himself to be affected by that poison, by the venom of the snake. Shouldn't send a person a barrel of wine that has shemen tzafel pia, oil floating on top of it. We have a case like this. He sent over a barrel of wine and there was shemen floating on the top. He invited all these guests over thinking he had plenty of oil. He went in and figured out, oh my gosh, I don't have enough oil to feed these people to take care of them because it's really wine. He killed himself. He choked himself because of this problem, because of this issue, which is that he was deceived by the appearance of the oil floating on top of the yayin. The other possibility is that, and the Avot and Rabbi Natan, I think, has the story the other way around. The Avot and Rabbi Natan has the story that he invited people over thinking it was a barrel of wine. And when he opened it up, he saw there was shemen on top, and he thought there was no wine in there at all. And then he had the same problem. He committed suicide because he thought he didn't have what to provide his guests. The guests, when they're given their food, are not entitled to hand that food to the children of the balabait. Unless they ask permission from the balabait. It was years of famine, years of when there wasn't much to eat. He invited over three guests. He had three eggs, one for each of them. He had an egg for each one of them. And that was going to be the meal. This young child, the infant of the balabait, came along, and one of the guests gave him his egg. They all felt bad for him, they gave him his eggs. The father of the tinok comes and found him. He's got one egg in his mouth. He's got one on each hand. Meaning that's the end of the meal. No more meal anymore. He whacked him, knocked him out, and he died. Father was so upset about it that he killed the child. I don't know if it was accidental or intentional here. When his mother saw that the child was dead, she went up to the roof and fell off. Probably some sort of suicide here. Umeita, and she died. Avu, after he saw all that, and he also went up and committed suicide. So because of that, we have some cure etiquette here. Proper behavior is that you must take permission from the balabait to give to the children, because you don't know what the balabait has. This might be all that he has. If it's all he has, he's going to be upset, disappointed, when you give it away, and that might lead to, or the repercussions of that might be serious. And as well before, what we saw with the barrels of wine, you should be clear about what's inside of it, so that the person, when he makes assumptions about what's inside of it, he doesn't mistake and he isn't deceived, and therefore get himself into a bind with the guests. Amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Odor zeh ne'ra gimel nefashot miYisrael. So this story tells us, three people, because of this problem of giving food to the children, three nefashot died. It says, Micah Mashmalin. What's he telling us? We just read the story. The story says three people died. So he's the Kula, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He's telling us, that's basically what he's saying, is that whole story is authored by Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He is the author of the story. Tarabanan. If he sends a whole leg over to his friend, he doesn't have to take out the gid. Anashe. Chatucha, if it's cut up, tzarich litol emenu gid anashe. He does have to take it out. Ube oved kochavim, when it comes to nanju, ben chatucha, ben shleima, in tzarich litol emenu gid anashe. You don't have to take anything out. For two reasons, we don't sell to a non-Jew nevelot and trefot. One is because you're deceiving the guy, that you're selling to him, maybe he thinking that he can resell it to a Jew, or you're selling it to him because you like him. The other problem is that he might resell it. If he resells it to a Jew, with the Jew thinking that it's kosher meat, then we have a problem. A person should not instruct an Obi Kochavim and give him money and say, go buy me meat. Because of two things. What are the two things? Echa mipnei anasim. Because we're worried about these strong-armed men. Basically, these thieves, robbers, that what they're going to do is, they're going to come to the butcher, they're going to say they have the money to pay him, and what they're going to end up doing is taking the meat and not paying. Because they're anasim. They do through intimidation, they rob people. So they're going to intimidate the butcher, make it look like they have money. They're going to buy the meat, and then they're going to walk off with the meat and the money. So that's one. Ve'echad shema mochrim lo nevelot u'treifot. The other thing is that the butcher might sell to the goy nevelot u'treifot, because he assumes it's a goy buying, that he doesn't care about the kosher meat. And now he's going to buy, and then he didn't realize he was buying on behalf of you. So now the Gemara is going to dissect this Braita. We had a number of sections to the Braita. I didn't explain them all, because now the Gemara is going to dissect them, which is, right, so what's the case here? We have an Obikochavim, you're allowed to sell him a whole or a cut-up one without the Gid and Ashe. But my Askinan, what's the case here? We just had our Mishnah that said you can only sell it to him whole, not cut up, and it depended on Machrizim, ain't Machrizim, it depended on those cases. So, Machrizim, if it's a place where they announce when they're treifot and the velot or when they're problems, then why do you have to pull the Gid and Ashe up when it's cut up? Because if they didn't have any announcement today, Jews are going to buy from the non-Jewish merchants, because they're kosher butchers. They're going to assume that all the meat's kosher, so they're going to buy it from him. Since there's no announcement, he's going to go buy it from him. And you sold it to him with cut up, without, with the git inside of it. Must be in a place where they're not announcing. Since they don't announce it, that's why you can sell it to the guy. Whether it's whole, whether it's cut up, you can sell it to him, because he'll never resell it to a Jew. Same with mitziyot, the next case. For two reasons we say you can't sell nevelot and trefot. One is because they trick him. Maybe he'll sell it to another Jew. So you just said that the reish is a case where they don't announce. Well, if they don't announce, no Jews buy from a goy. What's the second chashash here? Nobody's going to buy from him because Jews don't buy from a goy in that case. It must be in a place where they do announce it. So, Ema Seifa. So, let's go to the third section of the Braita. Don't give money over to a goy to buy on your behalf. Two reasons. One is because of these intimidators, these robbers, these thieves. Maybe the butcher's gonna sell them the nevelot v'treifot. If it's a place where they announce it, why can't he sell them treifot? If there was a treifa, they would have announced it today, and he could sell it to the guy. What's the problem with selling it to the guy if it's a place they'd announce? It's a place where they don't announce. So Gemara says, now what do you have? You have reisha b'seifa makom she'ein machrizim. It's a place where they don't announce. Mitziyoto b'makom she'machrizim. And the middle case is a case where they do announce it. So Amar Baye, in. That's in Ochanami. That's the setup of this braita. Reisha b'seifa makom she'ein machrizim. Mitziyoto b'makom she'machrizim. That's the setup. You have an inconsistent theme through the braita. And the case, each case is unique. The first case where you're allowed to sell a dobiko chavim no matter what, the place where they don't announce it, no Jew's gonna buy it off of him. In the last case, ein machrizim, so therefore, when the guy goes to buy it, the Jew sells him a nevela and treifa, because he thinks he's a guy.
For himself.
Right, thinks it for himself. He doesn't think he's buying it for a Jew, so he doesn't think about that at all, because he doesn't think anybody's gonna buy it. No Jew buys from a non-Jew. The last case is a case where he sends him with the money, and over there it's a case of ein machrizim, but that's why we're worried about him giving him the wrong meat, because he doesn't suspect that he's gonna sell it to a Jew. The middle case, which is the case where you're not allowed to sell a nevelot and treifot ochavim, that isn't a place where they're machriz. It's a place where they are machriz, and therefore you can't sell it to him because they were not machriz today. If they are machriz, then obviously you could sell it to him, but here's a place where they are machriz, but they didn't machriz today, and therefore if you sell it to him, we're worried that he's going to go then and resell it to a Jew. That's the way Abaye sets it up. Rav Amar Kula b'makom she'machrizim. All the cases here are cases where they do announce. Reisha b'seifa she'echrizu. The Reisha b'seifa is where they actually announce that something's wrong today. There is a problem here today. So if there's a problem here today, you can sell to the goy without taking out the gid and asher, because nobody's going to buy off a goy that day. You have to worry in the case where you sent the goy to pick up food for you, because the butcher's going to sell the non-kosher meat to the goy, thinking that he's not getting it for the other person.
But you'll be careful.
You'll have to be careful. But that's why you're not allowed to send them. You're not allowed to send them because we're worried about that case. And the mitziyata case is where, yes, it's a place where they announce, but they haven't announced anything today. Since they haven't announced anything today, you can't sell the goy, the nevelot and treifot, because then Jews will buy off of him, thinking that there are no nevelot and treifot. Ravashi amar kula b'makom she'ein machrizim. Everything's in a place where they are not machriz. So now, if they're not machriz, the reish and seifa aren't easy to understand. They're not machriz, no Jews buy off of the goyim. So the butcher's not afraid to sell him either things with the gid and asher in it, or to sell him the non-kosher meat, because he doesn't think he's buying it for a Jew. But what about the middle case? If it's ein machrizim, why over there are we worried about you selling the ve'evot and treifot to a goy? Nobody's going to buy off of him. We're worried, what is he going to do? He's going to sell the meat to him right in front of a Jew. A Jew will see the butcher selling it to the non-Jew, and then he'll go and buy it off of him. And when he goes and buys it off of him, he'll think, the kosher butcher said it, because I saw him sell it to him. So now, the Rashi points out over here, it's important Rashi. Rashi says, wait a minute. Now, how are we going to explain the cases that we had earlier in the Perek? We had these cases earlier in the Perek where the Bishlomo Gabi Mechiret Tabach is, when we're talking about a butcher selling in the market, Mezavin Leilovik HaChavim Hotam, Israel Tuva Kaime, we're worried that there are a lot of Jews standing around. It's going to come back and buy it from him. Aval, what about the case of Shaleach Leilovik HaChavim Beveito? What about the case where he sends it to his house? Mira! So over here, when you send him something to his house, you send him the leg,
no,
whatever he is there.
No, there's no that someone's going to buy it.
Right, what's it, that he's going to buy from him. Then he knows you're sending it to him. Vim tim salon, you ran Adam. If you say, oh, maybe somebody will see him. We don't go that far. That's a far-fetched case where he's going to see you when you do it out of your house. That we're not going to worry about.
One person.
Right. Vetano de matanitan poleg atana de breita v'gozerva. Our Mishnah is goes there even in a case where he's sending it to his house. I mean, the ratio of the bright does a case where he sends him the leg with the Gidin Hashanet. He sells him the cut-up leg with the Gidin Hashanet. That we said is fine because that's done privately. The middle case, the case where he's doing it in the Shuk, that's what we're worried about. Our Mishnah is a case where he's sending over it with the Gid in it. That's a private sale. And he's still worried about it in the Mishnah. Rashi says the Mishnah is goes there. Even in that case, Shema, that a Jew will see it and buy it off of him. The bright says we're not choshesh for that far-fetched case. So Rashi creates a machloket here between the Breita and the Mishnah. Tosafot here, this large Tosafot here, Amabaye, takes issue with that position of Rashi, but Tosafot says, Ubechina perishakundris, Amilto de Rashi, the Polik Tana de Matita, Natana de Breita, says that was unnecessary. Tiacholomar, Rav Ashi, Bishinuya Kama de Leo, Kaprishit. Rav Ashi answers, is the simplest answer Tosafot gives, was that we have a number of answers to our Mishnah, of how to set up our Mishnah. We have three different ways to set up our Mishnah. Who says he set it up in the case, but Makom Shein Machrizim? He set it up in the case, Bein Machrizim, and a Jew might see it. That was the only one of the three solutions to the Mishnah. Just use one of the other two solutions to the Mishnah, and then you don't have to worry about it. Any of the other two solutions to the Mishnah will not have it come into conflict with the Breita. So it doesn't have to. Rav Ashi's explanation does not have to be in conflict with the Breita. That's also the simplest way of explaining it. Then he goes in and says, what about even the case, Machrizim, and you would have that Chashash? And then he goes ahead and tries to reconcile it and to come to some sort of way to explain. Because once you do that, you have to re-explain the whole Gemara here and try to re-explain the whole series of Breitot that we have to have them all reconciled together and not have there be any argument between them. Now the Gemara continues. Heicha machrizinan. How do we announce this? Amar Bisra by Yosef. Nofol Bisra lebnei chela. We do it in a not so straightforward way. We say, there's meat for the troops. Me for the troops being for the non-Jewish troops. Why don't we just say it straight out that there's a trefa? Lozavne. They wouldn't buy it then. That's what we just went through the whole Gemara. How come itailu? You're deceiving them. He says, no. In who the kamatau nafshayu? They're tricking themselves. What does that mean, they're tricking themselves? So Rashi here draws a very important distinction. He says, Inu kamatau nafshayu. Dolo mishayu. They didn't ask. You trefa ikshera. They didn't ask us if it's a trefa ikshera. We didn't present it as it being a trefa or a ikshera. Just sell him meat. He wants to know the information. Let him ask about it. What did we see before that we said you're not allowed to do this to a goy? Like on the bridge. He gave him the treifah. There he's giving it to him, making it look like it's a shchuta when it's really a treifah. Saying, I'm opening him up for you. He's definitely deceiving him. It's all deception. When you're actively deceiving him, it's a problem. When you are just doing it and he forgets to ask the question, that's his problem. If he doesn't ask, that's his problem. When you actively deceive him, it's a problem. Tosfos takes issue with that, Perish HaKuntris, and he says, Ve'ein Nira. Tosfos says, L'chein Nira, T'hotam B'stam, V'osur, Hashem Don O'reach, L'asuke Edate, N'mechur, D'chein V'ni. It depends on what you, the buyer or recipient's gonna think. A guest doesn't think that you sold these barrels already and that's why you opened them from him. He thinks you opened them up to give him kavod. That's the underlying assumption of the guest. If that's the default assumption, then it's trickery or deception not to tell him. But in cases where you don't have to, where it, the assumption, when he goes out and sells meat, it could be a treifa, could be a shchuta, doesn't matter. He doesn't have to make any announcement there. It's their problem if they want to figure it out because there's no, he didn't give any appearance of doing something. So now the Gemara has another case of this. Kiyad Marzutra, Breda Rav Nachman. We have this case of Marzutra, the son of Rav Nachman. He's going from Sichra to Bei Mechuza. Virova, who was from Mechuza, Rav Safra, Vakal, they were going the opposite direction. They bumped into him in the middle of the way that he was going to Mechuza. He thought they were coming out to greet him. They came out. He says, You went all this trouble to come out and just see me? Samalei Rav Safra, Ana lo habe yadinan dekate. So Rav Safra, he says to him, I'm being honest with you, I didn't know you were coming. You have a yadinan today, you have a tarchine. If I known, I would have done even more kavod for you. But I just didn't know. So Amalei Rav, my time on Martele. Why'd you give up the secret?
He could have done it himself.
V'halcha dachlishte da'ate. Now you made him feel bad that we weren't coming up to see him. So Amalei, v'halcha matinele. I'm deceiving him. Of course I had to tell him. See, dekamate navshe. He was deceiving himself. He should have considered the possibility that they were going to travel to the other city, that they weren't coming to see him. They didn't intentionally try to trick him. Right. So it's not something, it was an equal possibility over here, and he should have taken that into consideration. That's what Tosu says. According to Rashi, they never actively tricked him. He made the assumption on his own, so it shouldn't have been a trick. So this butcher says to his friend, they were not on good terms. Two butchers, not on good terms. He says, if you had reconciled with me, if you weren't such, we were on such bad terms, I would have fed you from this fat, sure, this great meat that I had yesterday, this terrific meat. I didn't give any to you because we haven't reconciled. So I got from the best meat of that animal that you shefted yesterday. So how'd you get a hold of the meat from that great shore? Says Amalei, Dezavin Ploni Ovid Chachavim, Vesofali, that non-Jew bought it from you, and he gave it to me. Say Amalei, Trey Avde, I had two yesterday, Vahu Treyfava, and that one was a Treyfa. The ones you got was the Treyfa. So Amarabi, Bishvil Shotezeh, Shasash Loke Hogan. So this bad butcher who sold a Treyfa to a non-Jew without announcing it, Anu Nesar Kol HaMokolim, we're going to now say all meat stalls, all merchants, non-Jewish merchants of meat that are selling kosher meat are all pasul now. No, the Ruba is everybody's okay. This one butcher did something wrong. We're not going to assume everything's bad. So Rebbe Letamei, Rebbe's Leshitato, Damar Mokolim V'tabche Yisrael, if the merchants, the meat sellers and meat stalls are non-Jews and they're selling on behalf of Jewish butchers, they're only kosher butchers in town, then Basar Animtza B'yadu V'chalem Mutar. Then all the meat in town is kosher, because that's the only meat that you can find in town. And we're machris if it's otherwise. So that he was l'shitato. Ikadami that he said like this, I'm a rabbi. Mipnei sheshota zeh, did kavim l'tzure l'chavre. He was lying, this guy. He told him it was a treifa, because he wanted to cause him some anguish, some pain and anguish. It really wasn't a treifa. So anu nesar kol ha-mokolim. So we're going to nesar all the meat that day from the non-Jewish merchants, because this guy wanted to make his friend feel bad. Not his friend, I mean his enemy feel bad. No way. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Time of the Kavan Tzure. The only reason that Rebbe was matir over here is because he was trying to cause him pain. The Chavre. Halav Ochi. Had it not been for that and he had sold the meat to him, really done it. He was telling the truth, then it would be Asur. Vatanya, Rebbe Omer, Makulim, Vitabcha Yisrael, Basar Nim Tzav Yoruch Chimutar. That's always, unless we have otherwise or have other information to the contrary, all meat is considered to be kosher. Just because this guy says he sold him a trade for, we're not going to pass all meat in town because of that. But now you're saying, yes, you would pass all meat in town. So how do you reconcile? Shani Ocha did Chazek Yisura. Over here it's different because we know there is a treifa in the circulation. We know there's a treifa out there in circulation. If there's a treifa in circulation, now you're in trouble because you have to know that there's Yisra. Once there's Yisra out there, the whole Chazaka breaks down. Once the Chazaka breaks down, then we have a problem. The question of the Gemara is that Rebbe's assumption is that we don't worry. We allow, when there are kosher butchers in town, we allow all the merchants to sell and we don't worry about the Ovid Chavim bringing meat from their own house to sell. We assume that they only got it from the kosher meat and they're selling it. So that's, if we're going but the rov basar in town, which is kosher meat, then over here too, why don't we say rov basar? Even though it wasn't litzure, why don't we say rov basar? The Gemara says, itchazek yisura. Itchazek yisura breaks the rov because of that problem, itchazek yisura. Okay, so we'll stop over here.